things and needs, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. We're going to read to verse 17. And if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So let's just pray this morning. God, you have been preparing these words, and you have been preparing our hearts. And God, as the elders have chosen prayer as the theme for our church this year, God, I just pray that today you would help us to reflect on how we pray. God, help us to realize the power and the authority that your name has. And God, just let the words that come from my mouth be only the words that you want, God, and let the words that you want to speak today touch the hearts of every person here, including my own. Thank you, Jesus, and in your precious name we pray. Amen. So, a few years ago, probably about four now, I always think a few, but then I think, oh man, that was actually longer than that. So about 4 years ago, we got a call on a Thursday night for the placement of a little girl, and she was about 2.5, and her name was Crystal. And as placements go, they tell you very little when they are emergency, and this was an emergency. All what they told us is that she's the youngest of six, and she only has brothers. So, oh man. Okay. So when this little thing came to our house, it's really common for kids that we get, especially for emergency situations like this, and especially when they're little, to be quite delayed in most of the things that they're doing, especially in their speech. Just because in order to learn to talk, we have to have people talk to us. And so they tend to be very delayed. So imagine our surprise when Crystal was very eloquent for 2.5. She was sitting at our kitchen table, very eloquent in her speech, and we were quite taken back, but no more so than at 2:30 in the morning when I hear coming from the bedroom that she shared with Lily, "Hello, hello, I'd like to get up now, please." Okay. So I, groggily at 2:30 in the morning, as we are all still alert, I went over to that bedroom, and Lily was still sound asleep, and I went over to this bedroom that she's sharing with Lily, and I'm like, "What's the matter, sweetie? Like, it's okay, you're all right, I know it's a strange place. I'd like to get up now, please," she says. "Well, no, you know, it's the middle of the night, it's time for sleeping, see how it's dark." And, I know it's nighttime, but I'd like to get up and play with the kids now, please, and thank you. No. Actually, so needless to say, and maybe not needless to say, but needless to say, she did stay in her bed. We didn't get up at 2:30 in the morning, and we didn't go play, and we didn't definitely wake up the other children in the house in order for her to have playmates at 3 in the morning. But I realized in that situation, and in a lot of situations that I come to in what's going on in my life, that we really do teach our kids that please and thank you are very much magic words, right? And I do think, now don't get me wrong, I'm big on manners. You can ask my kids, if you don't use manners, the answer is no, even if I was going to give it to you in the first place. So I'm big on manners. I think that they're important, but I do really think that our kids figure in their young minds that please and thank you really are magic words. As if I ask mom for ice cream 10 minutes before supper, or like Crystal to get up in the middle of the night to play, as long as I use my manners, the answer is going to be yes. And you see, I struggled a lot of time with this verse in John 14:14 that says, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Because to me, in my immature understanding and in where my brain was at the time, and still, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, okay, so this is my heavenly please and thank you. Right? So in my name, in Jesus' name, that's just how we end prayers. If we really want what we're asking for, we have to use our manners. Right, and I might be totally the only person in this room that thought that way, but I wonder, though, is this how we've just been taught to pray? Is this just our heavenly tagline of please and thank you? How many times do we use the phrase in Jesus' name simply as our please and thank you, God? so, you know, and I started thinking about that, and I thought back, you know, back in times of monarchy, and still very much in countries that are monarch-run, countries that have a king and a queen, and that's the head of state, and monarch-run, but back in the days of, like, King Arthur and such, there were many people that worked for the king. There were knights, and there were soldiers, and there were messengers, and there's many, many people that worked for the king. And the thing was, these people, they were in constant communication with the king. They would take the king's desires out into the kingdom. That was their job. The king couldn't possibly go and do everything that he's being asked to do. He has people daily coming to his throne room requesting things, and then he would then pass the message on. And these people would go and they would do the king's desire. And now, as it were, orders that were from the king, in the view of the kingdom, were absolutely undisputable. Those that would carry out these orders, they would take the king's command to the ends of the kingdom, and they would carry them out to the letter. Doesn't matter how ludicrous or how crazy or how whatever it seems, if that was the king's command, and if it had the king's seals on it, it was to be carried out to the letter. If the king said everybody wear purple, they would go to the ends of the kingdom and say everyone must wear purple. And anyone who didn't wear purple was executed. Right? It wasn't a question. There was no question in minds. And, you know, sometimes they met opposition. Sometimes when knights and soldiers and such would go out into the kingdom, they would meet opposition. They would have to fight. And oftentimes, in these fights, they'd raise their sword way above their head and shout, in the king's name! And they would carry out their action. Now, this was not a phrase that was to be uttered lightly. In order to say this, you better believe that they had the backing of the king, and if they didn't, it was their neck on the line. So knights and soldiers would go out carrying the words of the king, and they would fight for the commands of the king. So what does this have to do with us? What does this mean? So what? So in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And I'm sure many of us are very familiar with this verse. But it says, our struggle is against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, we are knights and soldiers of the king. And when we say in the Jesus name, we are no different than saying that we are coming on behalf of the king. We are riding out with our declaration from the king out into the villages of his kingdom, declaring in the king's name, we ask or do these things. We yield our sword on behalf of the king, and this has some pretty serious meanings. First of all, when soldiers would go into a home or a village with the king's command, in their mind, in the soldier's mind, this thing was already done. There was no question. If a soldier rode out with a declaration signed by the king with the king's seal on it to a home, and that home was to have evicted the people because those were people who weren't supposed to be there, whatever the case may be, if soldiers went and knocked on that door and said, in the king's name, you must leave, there wasn't a question in their mind whether that people would leave. It was done. There was no question. It was leave or die. Those were the options. If you didn't carry it out, you must vacate. Now, excuse me. And it's the same way when we command something of the enemy to leave, whether that be a spirit or a habit or a whatever the case may be, when we command something of the enemy to leave in the king's name, it has no choice. It is done. The authority is there. We bring with us a declaration of the king. We have the king on our side. We may be coming to that conflict one-on-one, mano-to-mano, but we have the king standing behind us. You know, I had this great visual shown to me one time of this little kid, and he was being bullied by a kid on the playground. He's being picked on, and his dad just said, buddy, like, you know what? You just need to stand up to him. Right? Like, I got your back, buddy. I got it. And this kid was real nervous, and he was real afraid, and he'd go, you know, try to, no, not today. And he'd back off. And then one day he decided this kid was coming out to him, and he was going out to his dad's car. This kid come up into him, and he was in his face, and And this little kid that was getting bullied, he decided, no, today is the day. And he stood up and he said, you can't talk to me like that anymore. And this kid, this bully, takes off. And this little dude, this little bullied kid, feels like he's like 1,000 feet tall. He is huge. He is amazing. And he turns around and who's behind him? But his daddy. And he looks at him and he's like, son, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. So it doesn't matter whether it's one-on-one. It doesn't matter how many people we are coming up against. We have the king at our back. The other thing that we need to remember about this, that in order to know the king's commands, in order to know what the king wants, those people were in constant communication with the king. Some guy that lived on this side of the kingdom that had never talked to the king, never come to the king, couldn't go to his neighbor and say, you know what, dude, I want your land, so you have to get out in the king's name. He couldn't do that. That was not okay. Because whenever we say in the king's name, we say we are speaking on behalf of the king. So we have to be in communication. We have to be in communing with the King of Kings to know his decrees, to understand his heart's desire, and to speak on his behalf. Because that's truly what we're doing. So how do we do that? Well, I'm sure we're all aware. We have a signed, sealed declaration from the king. We just call it scripture. We call it our Bible. We call it la Biblia. We call it whatever we call it in our language. But in truth, it is a signed and sealed declaration from our king. It is, this is what it is. And this book outlines what the God desires for his kingdom. It outlines what he wants for his people. You know, you hear all the argument, oh, the Bible is a big book of rules, but the Bible is a book of communication from our king. And in order to know what it says, we have to get into it. Now, there's many times in the old days that a king would have to send his decree by messenger, right? He would have to send his decree by messenger because he just couldn't. He was in his job. And it happened all the time. And you know what? Those messengers, their lives were in danger all the time. All the time. A king's messenger was one of the most, like, sought after people for the enemy of the king. And a lot of times, these messengers would die carrying out the messages for their king. Sound familiar? See, God used the authors of this book as messengers to bring his decrees for us. Their words from the king, he just used them as a messenger. Because, you know, there's always an argument that we hear, well, how can all these people who wrote this book, there's like how many authors, how can they all say that this is from God? Because it's no different than a messenger carrying a message for a king. God wrote it. He signed it. He sealed it. He delivered it. And then he handed it to his messenger and he said, bring this to my kingdom because I need them to know it. So in order to know what the king wants us to do, we have to open it. We have to read it. My cousin once she went to Catholic school, and she came to my grandma and she said, Grandma, the teacher says that we know how good of a Catholic we are by whether or not there's dust on our Bible. And so my grandma, she thought she had this seat. She went to her Bible box, as is in many Catholic homes, they have a box with the Bible in it, right? She opened the box, she took a look, she said, Look at me, there's no dust on there. That's not the point. Right? Yeah, sure, Grandma. Good job. The box, like, you had to, like, scrape that baby open. But that was irrelevant. There was no dust on the Bible. But we have to open it. We have to read it. So that when they come to opposition, they can say to the opposition without hesitation, this is what the king says. Now, there's verses in Scripture that says, write my word on your heart, and that often was what happened. The king would send his messenger out, and he would give this message to the knights, the soldiers, whomever he was to deliver to, and those people would read it so many times that it was literally memorized in their mind. Literally memorized, so that when they came to the home of that person they had to evict, they didn't have to stand there and say, the king says you're supposed to. No. They would hand the declaration to the other person and say, this is what the king says. This is what the king says. So God says we have to write it on our heart. And often the knights would do that. And of course the communication has to go both ways because we talk to God through prayer. We all know this. This is like kindergarten Sunday school. Right? We talk to God through prayer. We speak, and that's where we come to God. And this is where we humbly bow at the throne of our King. And we offer our positions to Him. But we humbly come there knowing, just like the King's messengers, that we have the King's ear as soon as we say, Your Majesty. See, some of the King's messengers were the King's most trusted people, completely trusted by the King, that they could come to the King, bow to Him and say, Your Majesty, and that King had their attention 150%. They were the most trusted people. But the other flip side of that messenger came to the King knowing full well that at the snap of his fingers, their life was over. See, this is how I understand that understanding, that fearing love of my God, my Abba, my Daddy God, is that I know when I come to Him and I say, Daddy God, I need to talk to You, I have His ear, but knowing full well that my life sits in the palm of His hand. The third thing that we have to remember when we talk about the fact that this is all an important theory in our minds is that sometimes it takes an army to carry out the King's command when we're faced with great opposition. You know, if a knight was going to go and evict someone from their house, and that person was, you know, a single old widow or somebody that's not known to be violent, many times a knight would come one-on-one and he would go knock on the door and the King says, you have to leave, and that would be it. You'd hand the declaration and that would be the end of it. But other times, many times, they would come in groups of two or three or four or an army to carry out the King's command because they knew they would face opposition. If they were going to evict an entire army out of a kingdom because of whatever reason, they wouldn't send one soldier. That would be dumb. You know, I've had people ask me, and especially in youth, I've had people ask me, why do we have to ask people to pray for us? What's the point? Does many ears make God listen? And I think sometimes we tend to think this way. Sometimes we think, especially when we're going through something really tough, when we're facing a lot of opposition, we kind of start thinking, okay, let's go through my list here. Who's my super Christians, right? Where's my super Christian friends? Who's the ones that really, I can tell, really have God's ear? And we'll go to them and we'll ask them to pray for us, not because we think that, you know, many hands make light work. No, but because we think, oh, God's not listening to me, so He's going to listen to them because they're a super Christian. Because they're super awesome and, they have God's ear all the time. And I think sometimes we do that. I know I've done that. I've been like, okay, prayer list, who do I call? Right? And the first thing you think of is, who are my super Christian friends? But it's not that many ears make God hear. That's not it at all. And it's only been recently that I've understood this, that really it's not about many voices coming to God. It's about how many nights does this battle take to fight. It's about fighting the enemy with the forces of God's army. Because sometimes we need more knights, and sometimes the enemy is fighting really hard against us, and we need to call in the reinforcements because we're getting our butts kicked. And sometimes that happens. And so sometimes we need support in that. We need other knights standing with us, raising their sword with us, and saying, in the King's name, we declare this right now over the kingdom. And then there's the other side of when we have to come petition the King, and we need people to pray for us. Again, it's not because many ears makes God hear. That is not the point. The point is that how many people do I need standing with me in the throne room as my support? Because I'm coming to the King of Kings. And what that's saying, when we stand together, when we come to God together, we're giving strength to one another in prayer. It's no different than coming, all of us here to this church and approaching the King. It's as if He was standing right here and all of us standing out there saying, we stand behind Him when He's asking for this healing. We stand behind them. And the great thing is when we say in Jesus' name, what we're really saying is, God, we all come before You, but we are walking right behind Your baby boy. Because You're going to see us because Your Son is looking at us. And You're going to see us and You're going to hear us because we're standing with Your Son, because we are declaring that what we're asking for comes in accordance with Jesus. So sometimes we need more people. That's why it's so important. And my heart breaks when I see these situations where you see these Christian people, these God-fearing people struggling in such a way. And it's like, well, who's your prayer support? Who's your church family? And they're like, I don't know. I don't go to church. It's all a bunch of denominational political crap. Seriously, we need our church family because we need people. We need people that are willing, that we know when we call and say, hey, Shanna, will you pray for me? And she says, yeah, you know what, I'll pray for you. And I know that when I come to the throne room, Shanna's standing right beside me. It's so important. Verse, you know, and God even tells through his messengers, he tells us that in Hebrews 10:25, he says, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching, church. Every day we come one day closer to the day approaching. And every day, the closer we come to that day approaching, the enemy is freaking out more and more and more and more. And he's calling in reinforcements, I guarantee you. I guarantee you that the enemy is calling in reinforcements, so why shouldn't we? When we carry the King's command, we carry his authority with us. We sang about that this morning. We've read it in our scriptures. We've heard it in our heads. And I loved how when Robbie was up here, he was talking about the difference between this and this. He kept, you know, like, I thought he might give himself a concussion the amount of times he was showing himself online. But he talks about the difference between hearing things here and knowing them here. So I know we've heard this. I know we've heard that we come with God's authority. I know we've heard these things. But when we sing songs like there is power in the blood of Jesus, there is power, do we believe that, church? Do we believe that there is power and authority, that we carry power and authority with us to the kingdom? Do we believe that when we cry out in Jesus' name and we swing our sword, we hit our mark every single time? Do we claim the authority that God has given us on a daily basis? Do we wake up in the morning and say, God, I claim everything that you have for me today. In Jesus' name, I claim that. Scripture is clear. We carry that authority with us every time. Mark 3:15, to have authority. He's talking to his apostles to drive out demons. Matthew 10:1, and he called the 12 disciples to him and he gave them authority to drive out the evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, he says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach to the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He did not do that for them. He did that for us. Do we believe that? Do we claim that authority, church? In Jesus' name is not just Christianese for please and thank you. We need to remember that. Do we believe that? Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. I love that line. That's like my favorite line in all of that book. We are more than conquerors. That means we don't just win. We are more than that. We are more than conquerors to him who loves us. We are not just two-year-olds asking our parents for ice cream, please and thank you. We are knights. We are carrying a message for our King out into his kingdom. We are wielding our sword. There's a reason that scripture, that God calls this his sword. We are wielding our sword. We are knights carrying the message for him. We are soldiers fighting in our King's land against the enemy that's trying to invade it. We fight together. If we call on our soldiers, we stand together. If we ask people to come and petition God for us, and we win. I've read the end. We win. We are more than conquerors. Because when we come together and we stand together and we come before our King together, we win. So I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and in the meantime, we're going to pray, and we're going to sing a song about power. in the name of Jesus. And we're going to sing a song about prayer. And we're going to sing a song about, it's all one song, don't worry. We're going to sing a song about being in the power and the authority of Jesus. And I just want to take a moment just right now to invite up anybody who wants prayer. Because we are a praying church. And we have stood here, we have come here this morning not just to warm our seats, not just to make our presence known, sitting in our special little spot. I know we have our row, right? We have our spot. It's fine. It's fine. It's good to sit. My kids and be like, go sit, and they know where they're sitting. It's awesome. But that's not the only reason we're here. We're not just here to warm up our bench. We are here because as we sit here, we are saying, God, if this is your throne room, I'm standing here with every person in it. When we come here, we are saying, God, if this is the battlefield, my sword is ready and my shield is high. So church, will we pray? Will we fight for one another? Will we stand with one another? Are you battling something today? Tim talked about the interior inner battle that he's been fighting for who knows how long. How many of us are fighting a battle right now, right here? We're here. That's my thing. Everything has to go through my mind. Get out of there. So while the worship team is praying, we're just gonna pray. And I'm just gonna be praying. And if you want prayer, please feel free. I don't care whether you drop to your knees in your row or whether you come up to the altar or whether you sit in your seat and raise your hand. I do not care because we are a praying church and somebody, I guarantee you, will come and stand before God with you. So let's just pray and then we'll do our last song. God, thank you so much. Thank you that you send us out with a signed and sealed declaration of your ways, God. That when we say in Jesus' name, we are not just mumbling please and thank you. I pray, God, that you would give us a renewed authority in our minds to say in Jesus' name, we command the enemy to fall at our feet. God, I pray right now that you would just be building courage in anyone who needs prayer today. God, that you would just be pouring out your spirit of courage on anybody in this room who needs prayer. That you would just be willing and give them the strength and the courage and maybe the kick in the butt, whatever they need to come up and just ask for prayer, God. God, we thank you that we are a praying church. I thank you for our elders. I celebrate our elders and our pastors and their commitment to pray for their people. I celebrate this church in the fact that we are a praying church and we will love and pray for people. So God, I pray that you would help us to sing this last song with our hearts, not just our mouths. Thank you, Jesus, and in Jesus' name we pray.